Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say.
On the earth beside each living creature with its four faces, the appearance of the wheels and their workings was like the color of beryl, and all four had the same likeness. The appearance of their workings was, as it were, a wheel within a wheel. When they moved, they went toward any one of four directions, and they did not turn aside when they went. If we keep reading, they're the ones carrying the throne of God.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, back to second, what's that?
They were called?
Ophanim. O-F-A-N-I-M, or singular, Ophan, O-F-A-N, Ophan. The word angel just means messenger. There are many types of angelic beings in heaven. There are seraphim, there are cherubim, there are Ophanim. There could be a million others, just some that the scripture identifies. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I just wanted people to have this reference. I get asked for this one a lot. 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So this in Revelation 4 and 5 is the ultimate fulfillment of that. When a rapture and resurrection comes to be in heaven in the new bodies, standing before the throne of God. Let's go also to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. We talked about Messiah wearing the vestments of the high priest in Revelation 4. In Hebrews 9, verses 11 and 12, it says, but Messiah came as high priest of the good things to come. The good things to come we're talking about in Revelation chapter 5. With a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. That's where Messiah's throne is in the temple in heaven, which was not made with men's hands, but is part of the eternal kingdom. Verse 12 says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Back to Revelation for just a moment. Verse 9 again says, and they sang a new song saying, but I didn't get to the words of the song. I wanted you to see the others first. You, that's Messiah, are worthy to take the scroll, that's one with the seven seals, and to open its seals for. What does for mean? Because you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. That's what Hebrews 9 verses 11 and 12 is talking about. He took his own blood and put it on the altar and the mercy seat in heaven, in the heavenly temple. That's how he redeemed us to God by his blood. The word redeemed means to pay the debt that we owe but are unable to pay. So it says, and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. People try and tell me that Revelation chapter 4 and 5 are just talking about the angels in heaven. Were angels redeemed to God by the blood of Messiah out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation? No, they were not. Who was? The raptured and resurrected saints. Others say, well, yes, Wayne, but this is just the 24 elders. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Are there 24 nations? No, they're 70. So, what is this new song they're singing? Let's look at Psalm 33:3. The Old Testament talked a lot about the new song we're going to sing in heaven. Psalm 33. How could they in the Old Testament days have known we're going to sing a new song in heaven? That's what prophets do. They tell us what's going to come. Psalm 33, we'll read verses 1 through 3, the key verses 3. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. That's talking about the raptured and resurrected saints. For praise from the upright is beautiful. The upright, again, referring to the saints who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony and faith of Yeshua. Praise the Lord with the harp. Oh, what did it say in verse 8? They each one having what? A harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. That's different from today. Mankind has been diminished. How many strings do we have in an octave today? 8. In the biblical harp, there's 10. 10 notes. I guess you wouldn't call it an octave, but in a thingy. How about that? A musical thingy. Verse 3, sing to him a new song, play skillfully with a shout of joy. A shout of joy is a teruah, which is another meaning of the awakening trumpet blast, is a shout of joy, of rejoicing, because the day has come. So Psalm 33, verses 1 through 3, are about the raptured and resurrected saints singing a new song of praise to the Lord for having redeemed us to God by his blood out of every tribe and tongue and people. Let's look also at Psalm 96. Psalm 96. Nine followed by a six. Verse 1. Psalm 96, verse 1. I see you're still turning. We'll be in Psalms for another couple times, so don't lose Psalms. Psalm 96, 1 says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Oop, you're still turning. When you get there, you'll find it says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord who? All the earth. People saved out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Psalm 98. Psalm 98. Two chapters from 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm, that's Messiah, have gained him the victory. Messiah has redeemed us to God by his blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Psalm 144. Psalm 144. These are words of David, singing about what he plans to do when the trumpet blows. Psalm 144, verse 9. I will sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you. The one who gives salvation to kings, who delivers David his servant from the deadly sword. David's plan throughout eternity is to sing praises to the Lord, accompanied by the harp. Psalm 149. You see, it is a very common theme. Praise the Lord! Sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise in what? In the assembly of saints. Which is exactly what's happening in Revelation chapter 5. Let's go one more place, Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, talking about the future in verse 10, it says, sing to the Lord a new song and his praise from the ends of the earth. That is from all over the earth, from one end to the other. Why? Because we've been saved out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Let's go back now to Revelation 5. Revelation 5. Verse 9 said, and they sang a new song saying. What's that word saying mean? This is a quote. These are the very words. So this is not a, well, let's just summarize. This is literally what we will sing. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Did you grow up like I did, being told that we're going to die and then we're going to sit on clouds with a halo around our heads and wings on the back, playing harps and singing? Our future is not sitting on clouds in heaven. Our future is to reign on the earth. Look first at Revelation 1:6. Messiah himself tells us what our future is. We'll start with the last sentence of verse 5, not the whole verse, but just the last sentence. It says, to him, that's to Yeshua, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What has he made us? Kings and priests. Verse 10 of Revelation 5 said, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Go to Zechariah 14:5. Zechariah 14 is about the battle of Armageddon and what happens during the tribulation period. And I want you to look at the last sentence of Zechariah 14:5. Lord returns in Zechariah 14:3 for the Battle of Armageddon. But it's summarized for us at the last sentence of verse 5. Thus the Lord my God will come. That's our Messiah Yeshua in Revelation 19:11. And all the saints with you. When Messiah comes at the end of the seven-year tribulation period to the earth, what happens to the raptured and resurrected saints? They come with him to the earth. What did it say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Where he is, we will be. Where does he rule and reign during the millennial kingdom? On earth, Jerusalem, from the Temple Mount. Where will we be? On the earth with Messiah. So let us go back to Revelation 5, verse 10. And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign in the earth. What does a king do? A king rules and reigns. What does a priest do? Leads people to the Lord, to God. So during the tribulation period, we're going to be in heaven with Messiah for that 7 years. And then when Messiah returns to the earth to bring the kingdom to the earth, we come with him. Wait a minute. David reigned where? 7 years in Hebron. Then he brought the kingdom to Jerusalem. Hebron in Jewish thought's a picture of heaven. As David ruled in Hebron for 7 years, Messiah's first 7 years are in heaven. Then David brought the kingdom to Jerusalem. Messiah brings the kingdom to Jerusalem. Yes, sir?
If we're going to be priests and kings, who's going to be left to be reigned over?
That's the very next thing I was saying. Who is left on earth to be reigned over and priested over? Well, at the end of the tribulation period, Messiah returns and all the unbelievers die. But what about the believers that are alive in their physical bodies? They go alive into the Messianic kingdom. They're all believers, every one of them, but they have what? Children. Are children born saved? Does God have grandchildren? No. They're not born saved. So who's going to teach them about the Lord? We will. It's going to be a great honor.
He must not do a very good job if there's a great army that rules against him.
Yeah, remember Messiah said there's four kinds of hearts. And the gospel message only takes root in one of the four. Same is going to be true during the millennial kingdom. A lot of those children, they'll hear the gospel message and say, nah, uh-uh. Sin's more fun. Isn't that what happened in the Numbers chapter 25 at Baal Peor? You got Moses over here saying, follow the Lord. And you got Balaam saying, hey, here's all these naked, beautiful women. Which one's more fun? And the children of Israel threw off their robes and ran after the women. It's all fun and games, so somebody sticks you with a javelin. And who was it that did that? Phinehas, the son of Aaron. What's that? Remember, son means any male descendant. Back to Revelation 5, verse 11. Then I looked. Can you imagine how fascinated John must have been? He's seeing all this in a vision. Everywhere he looks, there's something fantastic to see. I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. How many angels are there in heaven? We don't know. Multitudes. The living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. It means a lot. All those angels could have come down and taken Messiah off the tree and said, nope, you're not going to crucify him. Didn't he say I could call 10,000 angels?
12
legions,
like
72,000. That's a lot. Why didn't he?
It was necessary
for you and for me. That's right. He said, no one takes my life, I lay it down. In these multitudes, angels, people, everybody. Verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. Well, what have they been crying over before? Who's worthy? Now they know who's worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. That's sevenfold, right? The number seven comes up a lot in the Bible. The number of perfection and completeness. His power is complete. His wisdom is complete. His strength, honor, glory, and blessing cannot be matched. Verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying. Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. This is a view forward. A view forward. Of Philippians chapter 2. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore God also has highly exalted him, him being Yeshua, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Yeshua every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Yeshua the Messiah is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I wish that was fulfilled before the rapture. Then after the rapture, there'd be no need for the tribulation period because we'd all be gone. Unfortunately, that doesn't come until after the great white throne judgment, when every creature in heaven, on earth, and under the earth will finally realize that Yeshua really is the Lord. So verse 12 is just a look forward of the ultimate conclusion of the day of the Lord and the coming to the new heavens and the new earth. Verse 14, then the four living creatures said, Amen. What does amen mean? So be it. It's true. It's going to happen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Meaning Messiah died, was buried and resurrected, but will never ever die again. Life eternal, and through him we too shall have eternal life if we put our faith in him. Now, chapters 4 and 5 took place in heaven. It's about the raptured and resurrected saints. What's happening to us? Those that in Revelation 3 the Lord promised to keep us out of the hour of trial or testing that was coming upon the whole world. We are receiving our crowns, our robes. We have the Bema Seat judgment. We receive our rewards. We sing praises to the Lord. And he has not yet opened the first seal, but he is about to. Go back to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. We looked at verses 24 to 26. Which covered 69 of the 7-year periods. There is one 7-year period yet to go. It's not consecutive to the others. There's almost 2,000 years between the end of the 69th 7-year period, the beginning of the 70th. Verse 27 says, then he, the false Messiah, the prince who is to come, the Antichrist, the beast of Revelation 13, call him what you will, shall confirm a covenant with many for one 7-year period. That brings us to chapter 6 of Revelation. God bless you. But before we start chapter 6, Messiah described it for us in overview form in Matthew chapter 24. Go to Matthew chapter 24. Verse 1. In Matthew chapter 23, Messiah said, the temple's toast. It's going to fall. Every stone's going to be thrown down. Matthew 24, 1. Then Yeshua went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. Why did they do that? Because he just said, the temple's going to be destroyed. They're going, hey, it's fine. Yeshua said to them, do you not see all these things? That is the buildings on the Temple Mount. Says, assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Was that literally fulfilled in 70 AD when the Romans came in and destroyed it? It was absolutely fulfilled to the letter. Verse 3, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives. In those days, that was not in Jerusalem. It's across the Kidron Valley from Jerusalem. The disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? What things? That a temple being destroyed. And what will be the sign of your coming? That word parousia means the coming of a king, the king bringing in the kingdom. They want to know, when will the Messianic kingdom come to this world? And at the end of the age, that word end is the goal. The goal of this age is to bring us to the Messianic kingdom. Verse 4, and Yeshua answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, which means they will deceive you. Boy, there's all kinds of false teachers out there today. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. That's the result of seal number one, is the release of the false Messiah. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. That's seal number two. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end, the goal of bringing us to the kingdom is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be lots of war in the first half of the tribulation period, lots of war. And there will be famines. Famines are seal three. Pestilences, that's seal number four. And earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. The word sorrows, Odin in Greek, O-D-I-N, means birth pains. Birth pains has been used throughout the Old Testament and the New as a description of the tribulation period, the result of which is the birth of Messiah in the hearts of Israel. Verse 9, then they'll deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. During the tribulation period, are believers held in high esteem, or are they beheaded every time they get caught? Many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound. What is lawlessness? What did Daniel chapter 7 say would characterize the false Messiah? He would try to change the times and the laws. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Messiah said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The false Messiah is going to teach lawlessness, and the love of many toward God will grow cold. But he who endures to the end till Messiah returning shall be saved. Verse 14, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached and all the world as a witness to all the nations. Then the end will come. Verse 14 is the witness of the 144,000 of Revelation chapter 7. They're going to preach all over this world to bring as many people as possible to the Lord. And countless multitudes are going to be saved during the tribulation period, despite everything. And verse 15 brings us to the midpoint of the tribulation. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, staying in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Okay, that's enough overview. Let's come back to Revelation chapter 6 and see it happen in real time. Chapter 6 through 11. Describe generally the events of the first 3.5 years.
Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online, or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.